Thank you, and welcome everyone to the special meeting of the Board of Directors of the Upper San Gabriel Valley Municipal Water District. This December 7th, 8 a.m. We'll go to the agenda under item number one, Pledge of Allegiance. Reuben, can you please tee that up for us?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Go to item number two, a roll call of the Board of Directors. Vanessa, can you please call the roll?
Director Fellow?
Present.
Director Trevino?
Present.
Director Garcia?
Present.
Vice President Santana?
Present.
President Chavez?
Present. Thank you. Let the record show that all directors are present for today's meeting. We'll go to item number three, the adoption of the agenda. Is there a motion to approve the agenda as presented?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any questions, discussions? If not, Vanessa, please call the roll.
Director Fellow?
Aye.
Director Trevino?
Yes.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Vice President Santana?
Aye.
President Chavez?
Aye. Thank you. That item number three passes on a 5-0 vote. We'll go to item number four on the agenda, which is public comments. Anyone wishing to discuss items should do so now. There's a 3-minute time limit on remarks as requested. So, Vanessa, do we have any written or oral communications from the public?
President Chavez, we have not received any written comments. And at this time, I do not see any hands raised.
Okay, so we'll go to item number five, committee reports. There are none in our packet. We'll go to item number six, consent calendar. There are 5 items for the consent calendar. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any discussions on these items? If not, Vanessa, please call the roll.
Director Fellow?
Aye.
Director Trevino?
Aye.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Vice President Santana?
Aye.
President Chavez?
Aye. Thank you. That passes on a 5-0 vote. We'll go to item number 7A, which is to award of water education grants for fiscal year 2022 and 2023. There's a recommendation from staff. Tom, or anybody from staff, can you highlight some of this these items?
And unfortunately, Patty has lost her voice. So we're going to have Jennifer Aguilar give you a review of these water education grants. Jennifer, go ahead.
Good morning, directors. Thank you for being on the swap with us here. So for the education grants this year, we received 25 applications, which is about the same as we did last year. And 24 of them were recommending to be approved. One of them was actually a turf removal project with some student involvement. And so I felt like that would be better suited to be turf removal. They'd receive more money, and then they wouldn't have student hands in that sort of a project. It wasn't the same. They also have a project in the back of the school with a garden that they're going to do some turf removal style things with. So I felt like that was more student engaging than the one they were planning to do in the front. But we did look at all 25. 24 of them were great, along the same lines as last year, projects that engage students, anything from gardening to there's some engineering projects in here, some pollution projects. They're a lot of the same schools. We actually have a couple of new schools this year, so that was nice. And we have a budget of $20,000 for the grants with an educational videos budget of $25,000. So we're going to, since we do a lot of our videos in-house now, we're going to swap a little bit of that money over to grant all of these, except for the one that I've offered turf removal and some assistance with the turf removal for.
Excellent. Great job. Any questions from directors?
Yeah, Jennifer, I do have one question.
Sure.
So with the students that put forward, the school that put forward the turf removal, so you ended up speaking with them and that got moved over to the actual turf removal program. Is that right?
Yeah, we're putting them through the MWD turf removal program. It'll give them the $2 a square foot, which gives them much more than the $1,000 that I would be able to give them. So they actually get more money, and then they're working with a contractor. So having the students being involved is more of a hindrance than actually helpful. I think they were trying to do that to get the grant money. So we're going to swap them over and give them a better opportunity with a different program.
And you said that, did they have another program, that particular school, that we were able to approve?
Yeah, they submitted two applications, and one is for more of a garden style project with the raised beds and things like that. That's more student friendly. They don't have a contractor doing that. They have a teacher and some custodians and things like that. So it's a little bit less intensive for the students to do, because this is an elementary school. So trying to have elementary school students doing or working with a turf removal project seemed a little extra to me for the front. So but the garden's great. I'm all for that. So awesome. We're still going to grant them one of their grants, just not both.
Great. Okay. Fantastic. Thank you.
No problem.
Thank you. Any other questions to staff regarding this item? If not, can I have a motion for approval?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the award of water education grants for fiscal year 2022-23. With that, Vanessa, can you please call the roll?
Director Fellow?
Aye.
Director Trevino?
Aye.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Vice President Santana?
Aye.
President Chavez?
Aye. Thank you. That passes on a 5-0 vote. We'll go to item 7B, which is a resolution number 12-22-652, honoring the outstanding services and accomplishments of Brian Bocock of Three Valleys Municipal Water District, which is just next door. So we have the resolution. Tom, do we have him on the line or there in person anywhere?
I do not see that he has joined, unless anybody, unless I'm missing him. So I do not see him online here.
Okay. So with that, do we need a vote on the resolution?
Yeah, we do. And just so, you know, everyone knows, Director Bocock on the Three Valleys Board, he's actually been in the water industry for much longer than the 20 years he was on that board. I think he mentioned that it's approaching 60 years of service in the water industry. He is a great advocate for water education, particularly for the technical trades, training people so that they can come in and work in a wastewater treatment plant, a water treatment plant, operate a water distribution system. He's been working with Citrus College for many years on that, and he has a lot of knowledge he likes to share, which he does. And, you know, I've known Director Bocock for, I think, over 30 years, and just always found him, you know, inspirational. He's very passionate about the business. So certainly encourage the board to consider this resolution recognizing his years of service.
Mr. President, can I also?
Yes, go ahead.
I was very honored last week to be asked by Aqua to present him with a certificate of service. He has served about 60 years in the water business and is a very fine person. I've worked very closely with him in Region 8 of Aqua. And he's very sad to be leaving Aqua. He was sitting next to me and he said, I really don't want to leave. And I said, well, you can come back as a staff member, a public member. But he's been a good friend and really an outstanding director on Three Valleys. Thank you. And I make a motion to approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. I also have, you know, since I've joined the water industry, what, about 14 years ago, he was one of the first people I met. His granddaughter and my son went to school together at Bishop Amont, and his son, Bob, which is Bob's daughter, have a good relationship. I was with them on Watermaster. So it's been a family business, the Bococks. I just recently saw them at a Aqua conference, and they're still there. They're still active, Bob and Brian. And I happened to be online at the Three Valleys Municipal Water District when Bob or when Brian was serving on his last meeting, and a lot of great tributes of his accomplishments. So proud to have known him. Proud that he's going to stay active in one capacity or another. So happy to support this. Is there any other discussion on the motion? If not, Vanessa, can you please call the roll?
Director Fellow?
Aye.
Director Trevino? Director Trevino, I think you're on mute.
Aye.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Vice President Santana?
Aye.
President Chavez?
Aye. Thank you. That passes on a 5-0 vote. We will go to...
Yeah, President Chavez, what we will do, I'm not aware of an event honoring Director Bocock, but we will watch for that. And if there is, we will certainly present this resolution at that time to him personally.
Great. Thank you. We'll go to 7C, which is an amendment of the lease agreement with the San Gabriel Valley Economics Partnership. There's a recommendation. I know Mr. Love and I were just discussing this agreement as well. So can you shed some light on it with the rest of the board, Mr. Love?
Yeah, so our original lease agreement was signed in February. We had anticipated an office move-in much sooner than now. And so the lease start, I believe, was originally March. Then we were going to move it to July. So for that reason alone, it was necessary to amend the lease agreement. But in addition, we negotiated the lease rate a little over a year ago. And certainly we've seen inflation in that time frame. The lease does have a provision for escalation of the lease rate with a cap of no more than 5% a year. Year-to-year inflation, October to October, was well over 5%. So we discussed this with the Economic Partnership. They agreed that there was an appropriate adjustment. And so that's why the monthly base rent is adjusted by 5% to $21.65-$63 a month. They have moved in, actually moved their furniture in last month. And then their staff started to occupy the office space late last week. I'd be happy to answer questions.
We certainly welcome them, and this is truly a partnership in the making. So any questions on the agreement from staff? So from the board of directors. If not, may I have a motion for approval?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the agreement with the San Gabriel Valley Economic Partnership. With that, any further questions, comments? Vanessa, can you please call the roll?
Director Fellow?
Aye.
Director Trevino?
Aye.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Vice President Santana?
Aye.
President Chavez?
Aye. Thank you. So 7C passes on a 5-0 vote. We'll go to 7D, which is agreement with the Metropolitan Water District of Southern California for their cycle program. So, Mr. General Manager, can you tell us what that's about?
So we've talked about this reverse cyclic program for a little over a year. There was an attempt to have the MWD board approve this prior to the end of last calendar year. That did not happen. But I believe it was February or thereabouts of 2022, the Metropolitan Board approved the use of reverse cyclic agreements. And so I need to explain what the purpose of and how it differs from our existing cyclic storage agreement with Metropolitan Water District. So our existing cyclic storage agreement, in essence, is a deliver the water now, pay met later. So we pay for the water over a five-year period after it is delivered. This agreement is we pay for the water now, but defer the delivery to a future year of not more than 5 years. And what this does is, number one, I mean, frankly, there is no wet water available other than the 14,700 acre feet we delivered in October to deliver. So what this gives us and the producers and Water Master the opportunity to do is purchase some water at this year's rate before the Met rate goes up January 1st, and Met promises to deliver that water over a period of not more than 5 years. Some of the risks with this is it puts some of the decision to deliver the water a little more in Met's control. I mean, Met delivers the water anyway, and so it is within their control. But this says they will deliver the water when it's available. I don't think that's a major risk to take, because whether we do this agreement or not and we need water, Met will deliver the water when it's available. But they do have a provision we've added to this agreement. By the way, this agreement is draft at this point, and that is where if the groundwater basin is approaching critical levels, MWD will deliver water to keep the basin above those critical levels. That was a very important provision to include in this agreement, because if we do agree to defer water, and that's to MWD's benefit and to ours and Water Master's benefit, we don't want to take the risk of not being able to get water if the basin reaches critical levels. So we're still discussing some of the language with MWD. One of them is the provision, what if they don't deliver the water in 5 years? Do they pay us the money back or some other remedy there? So we're still working on that. But we need to enter into this agreement, or MWD needs to enter into this agreement before the end of the calendar year. That is the authority their board gave them, and so that's why we're bringing it to you at this time. We originally did have Water Master as party to this agreement. However, Water Master's attorney wasn't sure this form of agreement was something that they could enter into under the judgment. So what we've agreed to do is we will do a separate, we call it a simple agreement with Water Master, so that we bridge the funding for this water and the delivery of this water between Upper District, MWD, and Water Master with a separate agreement with Water Master. I would ask the board in your approval today to also authorize the general manager to negotiate and enter into an agreement with the main San Gabriel Basin Water Master related to this reverse cyclic agreement. Be happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Love. So any questions from the board of directors on this item? If not, then Vanessa, can I have a motion for approval?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the agreement between the Metropolitan Water District on this reverse cyclic program. Vanessa, can you please call the roll?
President Chavez, before you do, can I ask that the motion include authorize the general manager to negotiate and enter into an agreement with Main San Gabriel Basin Water Master related to this agreement with Metropolitan. And Christine, we may need the board to come back later after we've got the final agreement and have them ratify that.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, if that's okay with the maker of the motion and the second?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Vanessa, please call the roll with those amendments.
Director Fellow?
Aye.
Director Trevino?
Aye.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Vice President Santana?
Aye.
President Chavez?
Aye. Thank you. 7D is passed on a 5-0 vote. We'll go to item number 8, informational items. There's press releases and news articles that you may read at your leisure. We'll go to item number 9, attorney's report. Is Mr. O'Neill available?
Hello. We have Christine Carson from O'Neill's office on for us today.
Oh, welcome.
I think Mr. O'Neill's on a sailboat somewhere, somewhere on the planet. I'm not sure where.
Yes. Hello. I'm filling in. Just a few things to report, some developments in the law. There is new law requiring 5 days bereavement leave for employees. A lot of public agencies already have that or something similar, but and a few other things going on in related to PFAS. There's a new California Attorney General case in which the state has sued manufacturers of PFAS to get cleanup costs, including water treatment costs, reimbursed by these chemical companies that have manufactured PFAS. In addition, CSDA has asked EPA to clarify that changes to regulations adding PFAS to CERCLA, a federal statute, will not impose liability on public agencies. There's also a some changes to the Political Reform Act that would prohibit local officials from taking part in licensing, permitting, and other entitlement proceedings involving a party or participant who has contributed more than $250 to the official within the 12 months prior to the proceeding. Those are the main recent developments we're tracking.
Okay. Well, thank you. Any questions from the board of directors on the report? If not, then thank you for that. We will go to the next item, which is item number 10, engineer's report. And we'll start with Mr. Johnson, if he's available.
Yep, I'm here. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Mr. President. Yeah, not much going on. A short report for the hydraulic conditions. Keywell first. Keywell is now at 179.5. It did decrease 0.2 of a foot from the prior week. But we're still up 2 feet from the prior month from the deliveries that Tom has talked about, the 14,000 plus acre feet that we got delivered. So we did pick it up a little bit. It is now starting to go back the other way. Hopefully we'll get some rain. By the way, it is raining in Orange County right now. I just saw a picture of rain in San Clemente. So it is raining. And I don't think we're going to get much, but they are getting some rain down there. We're still about 3 feet lower on the key well in the basin than we were the same time last year. Represents about 25,000 acre feet. So that's where we are. We need rain. They keep talking about it, but we're not getting it so far here. Up in the canyons, we are at minimum pool. There was some work done up in the canyons on the valves and the dams. They move water around. They are down now. Only deliveries coming out of the canyon will be for Committee of Nine direct deliveries on some of the rights that they have for the water up in the canyon. Local water, no water available for replenishment until we get some more rain. So we are at minimum pool. Deliveries of imported water, none during the month of November for us or for Three Valleys. San Gabriel District did deliver about 600 acre feet to San Gabriel Canyon Spreading Grounds. I think they've just about completed their Table A entitlement deliveries for this year. They're done. Done now, so that's where they're at. So we still need some water, obviously. Rainfall, Puddingstone, we're sitting about 140% of long-term average right now due to that last rainstorm we had. LA, we're sitting about 120% of long-term average. We need more water. Everybody knows that. Water quality, During November, 61 wells were sampled for the Title 22 program that's funded by the Water Master's Administrative Assessment. October, 58 wells were sampled, and we always report whether or not we've received any notices of new wells shut down due to water quality. We had none. And I'll just comment on Christine Carson's report. It's interesting on the PFAS because, as everybody knows, we do have contamination in the basin. We have many operable units that are part of Superfund and CERCLA. Adding PFAS to CERCLA is going to be interesting because that means under CERCLA, responsible agencies, responsible parties are joint and several liable. And we've already got responsible agencies in our operable units, especially the big one, the Baldwin Park operable unit. That means that if we have treatment required for PFAS, if it's under CERCLA, we can go to bat to make the responsible parties currently on the hook for the cleanup to pick up PFAS too. And it's up to them to go find if there's another responsible party. So very interesting stuff, because I think, as everybody knows, we are seeing the interest, concern, regulatory requirements for PFAS increasing throughout the country, but certainly in our basin. So that's all I have. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Johnston. Any questions for our engineer? If not, thank you for that, Mr. Johnston. And I have to say, with the rainfall, yeah, we obviously it's been lacking. I have a 50, 60 gallon barrel out there underneath in the backyard, and it did not fill up. So I was kind of disappointed.
Yep.
All right. Well, thank you for that. We'll go to item number 11, which is the general manager's report to Mr. Love.
Yeah, I'll stay on the topic of the water supply, and see that I'm. So this is just one slide of many that was in a presentation from a meeting I attended at Metropolitan last week, but I think it tells the whole story of where we are in terms of water supply, and this is looking at 2023 going into next year. So the blue bar at the bottom just shows, you know, what might happen at those levels of state project allocation. I sent an email to the board last week. DWR announced their initial allocation, for 2023 as 5%. Last year at this time, it was 0%. And so I did ask the question, well, why last year? It's been so dry. Why last year was it 20% or 0%? This year's 5%. This year DWR was much more conservative with their water supplies and how much they allocated. And they were able to preserve some storage that allows them to be a little more comfortable with a 5% allocation. But I will say that 5% is still tenuous. We still need to have some decent rainfall this winter to even maintain that 5% allocation. But if it is wet in Northern California, Oroville fills and, we get a lot of runoff, it could easily move up to a 15, 20% allocation. Maybe if it's an extremely wet year, even higher than that. But right now the state water project dependent agencies are in a special allocation. First time in Met's history, they've ever done a special allocation that only covers a few of their member agencies. MWD's forecast of water supplies indicate that the state project dependent areas will remain in a special allocation until the state project allocation gets between 15 and 20%, probably closer to 20%. And then the state project dependent areas will not be any treated any differently than the rest of metropolitan service area. However, because conditions are also critical on the Colorado River, it is very probable that metropolitan will make a determination to move into a agency-wide water supply allocation next spring. And even if the state project gets above 40%, previously they said if it gets to 40%, they may not need to do that. They've reevaluated that. And not until we get to a state project allocation of 70% or more would Metropolitan feel comfortable not needing to do a region-wide allocation. So what this chart really shows you is that for us, Upper District, a state project dependent area, we will remain in a special allocation along with the five other state project dependent member agencies unless the state project allocation exceeds 20%, final allocation. Usually that number comes out around April or so. But even if the state project allocation hits 20%, it's likely Metropolitan's region-wide will be in an allocation. Now, as the board knows, we've been working really hard to get approval for a quagga mussel control plan. I'm confident we will get that approval. In the event conditions remain extremely dry, both locally and on the state water project, we will use that plan to deliver Colorado River water to the main San Gabriel Basin. But the concern is if MET goes in a region-wide allocation, then we might be limited on how much of even the Colorado River supplies we can get. So we're strategizing how to approach this, recognizing that if Metropolitan does go into an allocation, that action will likely be taken by the Metropolitan Board in April or May, and the effective date of the allocation will likely be July. That is their administrative code is when they take action, that allocation goes into effect July 1st. What does that mean for us? Well, if conditions remain very dry this spring and Morris Dam doesn't have much water in it, we may need to pull the trigger and start delivering Colorado River water as early as April 15th, or in the month of April before the Metropolitan Act allocation goes into effect. And so we're working on our strategy for that as conditions develop over the springtime, but it's one of our top items to really focus in on how can we best manage the limited water supplies we have to make sure we keep the groundwater basin above critical levels where pumping may be impacted. So I want to talk about the building status. I mentioned, the economic partnership has moved in. Staff are settling into the building. I appreciate staff. They've got Christmas decorations up outside my office. Things are getting put away. And so we're transitioning in pretty well, getting more comfortable in the office space. It appears we may be able, we worked with the architect and contractor on the material shortages or supply delays for the lighting within the boardroom. And recently, in the last couple of weeks, the architect and contractor have worked up a different product because the product that they said would be delivered in 6 weeks was 8 weeks, was 12 weeks, still hasn't come in. So they've looked at an alternative product. I'm hopeful that we will have the lighting ready in that boardroom so the boardroom can be utilized by the end of the calendar year. And so I just want to make the board aware of that. We'll update you later on. There might be a possibility, and depending on what the board wants to do, to resume in-person meetings. Under the current law, we can continue these type of remote meetings. And Christine, you can correct me if I'm wrong, until February 28th.
Yes, February 28th is when it ends.
But we will have, we anticipate we will have a boardroom available. One of the we've taken advantage of this in the fact we didn't have a boardroom for a while, for the board to meet in, but we likely will have a boardroom ready to meet in January. So I wanted the board to be aware of that. We still have some significant, disputes with the contractor over delays. We're working through that. We've had a couple of meetings with a contractor and architect. At this point, the contractor has not provided us sufficient information regarding impacts to their schedule for us to determine whether or not they are entitled to compensable delays. But we continue to work through the process. And Christine, I've talked to Steve a little bit about this, but as this gets closer to where we may not be able to resolve this between the architect, the owner, and the contractor, we may need to get legal more involved in the discussion. So we're watching that, and we'll see where we get in the next week or so with the contractor on these issues. I would say just kind of an order of magnitude impact, it's probably in the neighborhood of $200,000, but that's really a preliminary number at this point in time. Regarding staffing, we have gone through one round of interviews for the new legislative representative position. Staff has slated a second round where I will interview the candidates this Thursday, tomorrow afternoon. And hopefully we'll find a viable candidate and have someone on board in short order. I want to thank our finance staff, particularly Evelyn. She's not on. She's actually in the Philippines right now where it's midnight. But I want to thank Evelyn for one more year of excellent performance in the annual financial report. Getting that done, I've been at agencies where sometimes they don't approve that report until January or February. And getting it done before the end of the calendar year is just a credit to Evelyn and her staff, and I appreciate that. The last thing, I think you all have it on, and by the way, the dedication event on the 5th of January, it's by invite only, but we will have that dedication event, 9 a.m., make sure everyone gets a chance to see the whole building, and including the boardroom, hopefully in its final status at that point in time. That concludes my oral report. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Love. Any questions from the board of directors?
Yes, I have a question, please.
Go ahead.
So, Tom, I'm thinking about the SWP and the water restrictions to residents and how we're communicating that. So we have requested 20% reduction in water usage from our residents in Upper District Service Area. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct.
And we never had like a time frame like, okay, we're good. You know, we never had we're done with the 20% water restrictions. Is that correct?
That is correct.
So if we are going to request more in the following summer, hypothetically, is there a situation where we would request additional reduction?
There is. Hypothetically, there is. So if we get into a very dry spring and we foresee that conditions are getting even worse than they have been this last year, then we may ask for additional conservation and recommend, you know, restricting outdoor watering to one day a week, where, you know, some of the MET member agencies are already there. They're already on one day a week. So we may have to get there. We may have to increase our call for conservation in our service area.
And is there a, on the SWP allocation, is there a number, a percentage, or where we can anticipate that would happen? Like right now you said we're at 5%. If we remain at 5%, would we continue with the current 20%, the current request from last year? Or?
Yeah. So for our service area specifically, it also depends on the ability to deliver this Colorado River water. If we're able to do that, even if MET's in an allocation, then I think we will be okay for another year without going to more restrictive water use. Or if the allocation drops back to 0%, let me step back. If we're unable to deliver Colorado River water at USG3 and the state project allocation is less than 10%, then I would say it's likely we would need to go to a higher level of conversation. If the state project gets to 20%, then we're okay. So that range between 10 and 20% is something we'll watch for over the next coming months. And again, remind the board that the Department of Water Resources really gets criticized if they lower their allocation throughout the spring. And that's what they did last year. They started at zero. They had tremendous precipitation and snowpack in December. And while it was dry for most of January, they still increased that allocation to 15% at the end of January. But because January, February, and March were completely dry in Northern California, DWR lowered that from 15% to 5%. And they were heavily criticized for doing that. They've had other years where they've also lowered the allocation, and they really try and avoid that. So I think this year, even if we have a wet December, wet January in Northern California, I think we'll see Department of Water Resources being extremely conservative on increasing that allocation prematurely to a higher level until they see what happens all the way through February and March on that precipitation and snowpack.
Thank you.
Do we have any other questions from the board of directors?
Yeah, Mr. President.
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, question about the building. This Monday, I spoke to the mayor's coordinating council in Monrovia, and a number of groups in Monrovia were interested in if they could use the building or the rooms, conference rooms, for a various meetings. And I don't know our policy. Do we charge? And what would be the largest group they could host, Tom?
Yeah, so I'd say the largest group they could host would probably be in the neighborhood of 50 to 80. There is some limitations the city put on us for the occupancy in the boardroom of just under 50. But using the various rooms, we could handle a little more, I believe. And so our policy and I don't know that we have a policy, but our practice has been, and it depends on the organization. Usually, you know, as you know, COG used to use our boardroom for their meetings, and which we didn't mind, especially the daytime meetings were not too much of a burden to us. But it was the evening meetings where we had to have staff stay, pay overtime, and those kind of costs were associated with that. So we came up with a cost structure of, I think it was $250 for an evening meeting. But that was just a practice. It wasn't a policy. So we typically look at what is the organization? What is their purpose? And particularly if their purpose is consistent with the district's mission and objectives, then usually we'll say, yeah, we can accommodate that. Only if it means minimal disruption and impact on our staff, and our facilities. So it's open for discussion.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions for the general manager? If not, thank you, Mr. Love. We'll go to item number 12, which is the Metropolitan Report. It's there in our packet. Dr. Fellow, do you wish to add anything to your report?
I'll just add that the Metropolitan Water District will be meeting Monday and Tuesday of next week. Thank you.
Okay. We'll go to item number 13, which is the Water Quality Authority Report. And there's just some routine action, but since we were talking about PFAS, just wanted to report to the board that we did go into closed session. We did interview several law firms with regards to PFAS, and the board did approve legal services for S&L Environmental. They'll help on the litigation with regard to PFAS that the Water Quality Authority has any involvement in. I'll update you should any of those actions come forward. With that, we'll go to item number 14, a Water Master Report. That's also in our packet. Is there anything that our two representatives will wish to add?
No, thank you.
Thank you. We'll go to item number 15, AB 1234 Report. That is there anything to add to that report? If not, then we'll go to item number 16, director's comments. And Dr. Fellow, would you like to lead us off, please?
I just wish everybody a very happy holiday as we approach the sacred and blessed Christmas season. Thank you.
And then we'll go to Director Garcia. Any director's comments? Director Garcia? Tom, is she still with us or is she on mute?
I was letting you know, I do not see her online. She must have dropped off or got dropped off.
Okay. If she joins us at the end, I'll bring her back. Director Trevino.
I have nothing to
Thank you.
Nothing to add.
Thank you. Director Santana?
I came across something interesting I wanted to share. It was actually on social media, and it was this little thing. This is kind of hitting the public, I would assume. It was PFA levels in sparkling waters, and they listed a bunch in the parts per trillion of different sparkling waters like LaCroix, Topo Chico, a bunch of other ones. So, it's hitting kind of, I'm assuming they meant PFAS. So it's out there, and it's coming into discussion. So, it's not just in water, board meetings that we're hearing about this stuff. That's all.
Okay. Thank you. And then, Tom, I have a question. So is this our last meeting, of the month?
Yes, it is. Last meeting of the month and calendar year.
And then, do we have any committees that will be meeting as well?
Not this month. We canceled the committee meetings for this month. If there's a need, we certainly can schedule some.
Okay. Just wanted to double check. So I just want to thank you and staff for closing us out to another wonderful, successful year. Want to wish everybody a happy, safe holiday. And This Friday, I'll be celebrating my birthday, and my wife's taking me out actually tonight to go see the Book of Mormon at the Pantages Theater. Oh. So that's my birthday gift today. Wish everybody the best. And item number 17, any future agenda items may be given to myself or to Mr. Love for a discussion. And item number 18, we will not go into closed session. Other than that, is there anything other that any other business that we need to dispense with, Mr. Love?
Just to remind the board, we do have our holiday staff appreciation dinner on the 16th, the evening of the 16th. And happy birthday, President Chavez.
Yes.
Thank you. I won't tell you how old, but I'm getting close to that. To the big one again. Thank you. Everyone, thank you for joining us. We are officially adjourned.